So, all right, so I just wanted to start by saying, everyone can hear me? Okay, so I just wanted to start by saying a few words about the Bechina very quickly. Regarding the Bechina is two sections. The first section is Shito. There's probably will be probably about 15 questions or maybe 17 questions, of which you need to answer 13. Each question usually has about six different Shitot in it. So I'll be like, what's, talk about B'dikas Chametz, and then what's, Rabbeinu David and Maram Chalava, and just, the list of them. And you just write out, no need to write long answers, just very simply, what does each opinion say? That's the Shitot section. Then there's the essay section where it'll give you five essays, and you get to choose three of them. And then you write out basically the whole sugya of whatever topics we give. The Shitot is just on the second half of the semester. The essays are on the entire semester. So obviously you're going to need to study those earlier sugya, but in terms of like this very specific Shitot, those aren't as important for the Bechina. Okay, now getting to that, if anyone has any questions about that, either now or as the Bechina gets closer, please feel free to ask me. In terms of this sugya, so it happens to be, I thought that this was a very tough sugya, this Maskir Socher Bedikas Chametz. I thought it was hard for two reasons. One is he packed in a lot of information, but it wasn't really just that. It was also that the amount of Shitot he mentioned was actually really tremendous. So I thought that my impression is some other guys felt this way as well. So this made this sugya a little bit challenging. Also, I was discussing this with Ellie Ellie Goldberg, but what type of sugya is this? So usually I like to think about the sugya in two categories, as a mahalach sugya or multi-systemic sugya. Here, I think it was really a multi-systemic sugya because he's just trying to explore these different range of options within a sugya. And those are a little harder because, you're just trying to run through all these different ones. It makes it a little harder to follow sometimes. So I would say this is a multi-systemic sugya. And also, there's a lot of discussions that I'm going to try to show during Chazar Shir, maybe how they all kind of connected, but they're also kind of addressed individually, which also I think made the connections a little bit more challenging. But either way, we'll do our best here. I also just regarding the mass amount of Shitot, I definitely will not be mentioning all the Shitot, to say the least, as you'll see. I'm just trying to provide a structure, a framework for how to understand the sugya and try to connect the different pieces together. All right, so what I want to begin with, and I think this is a helpful way to look at, Chazring of Rosenzweig Shirim, is you want to frame the topic with a question. So here's what I think the framing question is for this sugya. How does the debate about whom the obligation of B'dikas Chametz falls upon, right, in this Maskir Socher Sugya, relate to, / or reflect upon the nature of B'dikas Chametz and or Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. Now, the reason why I formulated it either reflects upon or relates to is for the following reason. Some of the discussion we had is not directly related to the Gemara, meaning, we'll see a lot of our discussion about Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh wasn't about, necessarily the discussion that arose in the Gemara. Really, it's about if it was Deoraisa. And if that's the case, then that makes it, a little more, it's not necessarily that, how does this debate here make an impact? It's really just in general, it triggered the discussion. And, these different things relate to each other. It doesn't necessarily reflect upon. That's the point I'm trying to make there. But we'll see how all, the different topics, the different issues we'll discuss really connect to B'dikas Chametz and Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. So in order to address this sugya, I want to break up this Chazar Shir into six sections. First section is I want to provide a little background introduction to the topic. The second section is the understanding the Maskir Socher dynamic more generally. The third is what the Maskir Socher debate reflects about the nature and purpose of B'dikas Chametz. Fourth is I want to run through some impacted issues, call them nafkamino. Five is the relationship to Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzeh. And here we're going to really zone out to talk about Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzeh. And finally, we'll have the sixth section will be a postscript about Mesiras Mavteach. So the Gemara, so let's start with section one, the introduction. So the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim Daled Amud Aleph, I presents the case, presents the following case. Ba'mi name of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Hamaskir Ba'is L'Chavir Ba'arba Asar, Ami Livdo. Someone rents his house to his friend on Arba Asar, Ami Livdo. Maskir Livdo. So the Gemara raises the first possibility that is it on the Maskir, the one renting it out to his friend, Livdo to Chamir Di Dehu, because it's his Chamir, it's his Chametz, right? Odilma ala socher levdok, maybe the renter needs to check. The sura birshusei koi, meaning where's the chametz? The chametz is presently in his possession. So of course it makes sense that the chametz is in his possession and he should be the one, the Gemara says, perhaps he should be the one that is doing the bedika. Okay. The Gemara then presents two, there's really three stages in this Gemara. The second stage of the Gemara is let's try to find a proof to evaluate whether or not who's really responsible. So the Gemara says Tashma Hamaskir Bais Chaver Ala Socher Lasos Lo Mezuza. So it's on the responsibility of the Socher to do the Mezuza. Ah, so if it's on the Socher to do the Mezuza, right, then we could see that really here too the Socher should be the one doing the Bdikas Chametz. So Hasam Hamar Misharshia Mezuza Chovas Hadarhi. So there we reject this, though, because mezuzah is different. We'll talk about this a little more, but mezuzah is different because mezuzah is the chayva of the person living there. So it's not necessarily a very helpful proof. So hachamai amar lehu Rav Nachum Yitzchak Tanina. So now what do we say? What do we actually conclude? It says Nachum Yitzchak says the following: Hamaskir b'asel chaberu imashel masulam avtechos chal arba asar. So if before the 14th of Nisan, he doesn't give the socher the keys to the house, ala maskir livdok, the maskir needs to be the one to do the bedika. Meaning he had already, prior to the 14th, given him the socher the keys, ala socher livdok, the socher then would be the one who needs to do the bedika. So this Gemara raises a lot of really important and challenging questions. So first we want to understand, right, and here I'm just raising the issues that derive from this Gemara, right? So what exactly is the suffix of this Ibaya, right? Is it a question that we're trying to figure out in terms of who would be over on Bali Ra, Bali Matze? Are we talking about who is really just responsible for Bedika? Are we asking are we asking also about violating by Arba Matzeh, or is it just a question of responsibility in Bedika? Why does the Gemara say be Yudalid, right? Could it be Yud Gimel? Is maybe the Gemara just saying like a few be Yudalid? Right? Why does that have to be Yudalid? Why does Gemara only talk about Bedika here? What about Bittel? What happened to Bittel? Why don't you have the same question by Bittel? Then in the second stage of the Gemara, we're wondering what exactly is going on with mezuzah, right? What kind of proof is that? What is that supposed to tell us about chametz? And why is the Gemara's rejection significant? And then also, if you think about it, if it's suffix about Bali Ra, Bali Matzeh, then how does mezuzah really help us? It seems to be a different type of obligation entirely. Finally, we need to understand what role does Mesiras Mavteach play, right? And what's the connection between that and Chamir Didei and Yisur Birshusei Kai? Do they still have a connection? Those are all the questions that Rosenzweig raised about this Gemara. So I just wanted to give a couple maybe preparatory notes. So the first is that all the time in Halacha we have a clash between two people. Where one is in control of the item and the other is the owner of the item. So, and each of these cases, we have to try to evaluate who is the real owner, or is one of them the owner in certain contexts and one of them owner in another context, or it's not, one's the owner, but the other has other rights to it. So, and is there legal significance to having possession of the object? So all the time in Halacha, we have these questions and issues. It comes up in all over the place in the Bavas and elsewhere. So just to give one example, if the Gemara talks about Bakama Samachadam and Bayes, the Gemara talks about the kinyan of a gazlan. So the Gemara says that if someone's gozel and the lonis yashu habalim, so are they allowed to be makdish? So the Gemara says no, neither of them is able to be makdish. Why? Lefi zelfi she'ino shalo, the zelfi she'ino bereshuso. Meaning the gazlan it's not his, and to the owner it's not in his rishus to be makdish it. So we see here that there might be these dueling elements, you know, having it in your rishos versus owning it. You know, how do these play out in our sugya? But again, just saying as a paradigm, we have this all over the place. The other, and then in another example could be mafkid nifkad. Right, so Tosfos says the mafkid can be mafkish as chayfetz, even though it's in the rishos le nifkad. But the Ktsos and the Sivos say that it might be different by a Shoel and Socher because they might have Kinyanim. So again, this clash, you know, it's one's the owner, another person has in his possession. Who really has the rights to it? That's the issue we're going to be addressing, but specifically in the context of Chametz. And with that is the second prefatory note, which is there's a certain wrench in this entire sugya, which we always have to be mindful of, which is that Chametz could be totally different. Because we know by Rabbi Yishmael, the Gemara says that chametz, you know, there's two devarim which are non-rishus of a person, and one of the chametz, which is iser hana, ain't a rishuso, vaso akosuv ki ilu rishuso. The Torah tells us that it is in his rishus, but really, in principle, it shouldn't have been. And this is very important to be mindful of, right? Because, you know, there's two ways to look at Rabbi Yishmael. Last Chazar Shuri said there was more, but for now, there's two ways to look at Rabbi Yishmael, right? One way to look at it is Rabbi Yishmael is just saying, let me bring this into the normal rules. Rabbi Shmuel is saying here, you know, okay, the Torah brought it in back to the normal category. So yeah, this sugya of chametz is the same sugya as, you know, mafke nifka. I mean, the same principles, ideas maybe could apply, or the regular ideas of maske or soche. Alternatively, though, what Rabbi Shmuel could be teaching us is that it's a chiddush, and therefore it doesn't work according to the normal, you know, hierarchies of balas. Right, so it could be, what else could it be about? It could be about the association with chametz. It could be about, you know, it has to be non-nichale. It has to be, you know, your relationship to it, disassociating yourself from it, thinking about it as distasteful. And so it could be that we're looking at balos and chametz as totally distinct from balos in other contexts, right? It could be that in other contexts, it's about really ownership, but here it's about being in possession of it at the moment. And so therefore, you know, as much as you could talk about these other contexts, and it's important to see where chametz diverges from those other contexts, you know, we might see that, like, really chametz is different than these other places based on Rabbi Yishmael's rule. That is section number one. So now section number two is discussing the general socher maskir dynamic. How does that work generally in halacha in terms of who's the real owner? Rav Rosenzweig presented three different ways to look at it. So it could be, yeah, I guess, let's see. So what are the three, by the way, in Chazar Asher, I really don't ask questions unless I'm confident people know the answer. So, you know, there are really three ways to look at it. So Eitan, Sakla, you know, back in YU, you know, I could ask Kashas again. So Eitan, what are some of the ways we could look at the socher's rights here?
So it could be that he has a full kinyan, kinyan lezman katsuv, as lashon of the Rambam. It could be that he just has a kinyan tashmishin, just rights to use the area, but it's not really a kinyan in the guf or the chatzer.
Exactly.
Right. Or it could be some sort of in between category or status where he has like a kinyan beguf for certain inyanim based on the rimi lunil, things that have to do with his dira as opposed to kinyan of the and the mask would retain like the kinyan for with regard to more long term or things that have to do with the house, I guess, more long term.
Okay, awesome. So what Eitan just said so beautifully and articulately was basically, right, there's three different models, right? One model is that the relationship is very simple, right? The maskir fully owns it, but the socher just has, you know, the ability to use it, kinyan tashmishin or whatever. Another way to look at it is that the socher fully acquires it. It's just fully acquires it for, you know, for whatever amount of time that he rents it for. But the third way to look at it would be that the maskir retains some form of balus, even if the socher also has some sort of balus on it at the moment. There's really, I think, two ways of formulating that in terms of, you know, do we look at it as he really has full ownership of it, but since it's for a short time, then the that sort of somehow diminishes his ownership of it. Or it's like, it doesn't diminish it, it's just there's two different types of ownership, which we're going to present. But let's just say that there's some, and those might not be different really, but this third model is that somehow it's not that he doesn't own it or that he owns it completely, it's that he sort of owns it in between, right? There's some sort of either diminished or different type of ownership of the socher here. So how does this break down? So the Gemara in Bava Metzia regarding own, so really it seems like we have somewhat of a debate here, which is the Gemara in Masechta Bava Metzia presents this Gemara about Ona. And so in the context of Ona, so it says Schir Sheish Lo Ona Ein Lo Ona. So it says Memkar Amar Rachmana Aval Lo Schiris Odim Lo Shna. Maybe Memkar and Schiris. Amar Le Abaye Mikasiv Memkar Leola Memkar Stam Mikasiv Behai Nami Biyomim Mechirahi. Right. So it says Memkar Stam, and then the key line is Behai Nami Biyomim Mechirahi. So the Gemara of Metzia is telling us that by Schiris by Ona, then the Onah by Schiras, then it is considered to be a Mechira Leyome. Now the question that's debated, right, is this just by Onah, or is this in general? Right? Does this mean that Onah, only in the context of Onah, is it a full Mechira just for a certain amount of time? Or in general, do we think of Schiras as a full Mechira, again, just for a short amount of time? So Tosfos takes this first view, that really Schiras is not a full Kenyan. It's not really a Kenyan. He doesn't require balas here, and he says this Tosos Bava Metzia and Vava Mabez and Tosos in Avodah Zara Ted Vava and Aleph. Right, Tosos in Avodah Zara Ted Vava. Sorry. Let's do one more Gemara. The Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zara, though, in contrast, says Schiras Lo Kanya, right? Like explicitly Schiras Lo Kanya. So we have one Gemara which says it's, you know, totally mechira, but for a certain amount of time. The other Gemara says schiras lokanya. So we have this problem because, you know, how could this be the case that you have schiras lokanya? Another case that it's full mechira. And also the Gemara above Metzia, kuf aleph amid beis, talks about how there are certain responsibilities a socher has and a certain responsibility a maskir has. So, you know, what exactly is going on there as well? Is it really just the maskir has certain, you know, umdina responsibilities, but really it's a socher or just something else? We have mixed evidence in the Gemara. So Tosfos is the first view here, right, based on his mixed evidence in the Gemaras. He basically says that no, Schiris Lo Kanya, that's a special din by Ona, and you know, because of certainly Mudim. And therefore, that we really just say more generally, Schiris Lo Kanya. That's Tosfos about Metzia, Tosfos and Avodah Zara. The second opinion here, which says that it is Kona, is who? Eli Hyman, do you know who that might be?
The Rambam.
Ah, so Rambam is going to say Schiras is very good. Yeah. So I thought, but even more simply, in terms of, let's say, someone who doesn't have this complicated view, we said that Rashi, oh, sorry, you know, yeah, let's say right, Rashi says, you know, it's Kona, right? That's Rashi's Lashon on the Gemara here. Say Rashi's the second view, that Schiras is Kona. That's, let's say, Rashi's view on Dalem and Aleph. But then the third view, which is that it's more complicated, is exactly what Eliya just said, is the Rambam. Right, the Rambam has these, and I'm not going to go into all of the Rambam because there's a lot of it, but I just want to make the point in terms of how the Rambam views Maskir Socher. So the Rambam in Hilchos Schiras, Vav He, Yeah, the Rambam Hilchos Schiras Vav Hei, because I want to get through the material, so I won't give the full background here. So the Rambam talks about, in Vav Hei, he says the following. Uh, So he says, "Zevel shebachatzar har hushal socher l'fikachu mitakel bolo tziu imiyisham minhag olchan achar minhag b'medvar amurim kishahayu abehimo shasu zevel shel socher." Aval mabehimo shel acherim. So here's the key line: Hazevel shel bal hachatzar shel chatzir shel adam kone shelo midaito. So Rambam says that the chatzar of the maskir is kone for him, from the stam behemos of his stam behemos. Now, so what are we seeing here? That the maskir still retains some rights and some ownership over it, right? Rambam, you know, Baruch Hashemesh and Hilchos Chiras Vav Hey, that there's some certainly some element of ownership for the from the maskir. Ah, but the Rambam in Zayin Aleph in Hilchos Chiras says something different. The Rambam Zayin Aleph has this great line. He says, "Matne b'schiras," he's talking about Tanai. And you could say you can make a Tanai. Why? "Matne b'schiras," she has schiras mechira l'zman katzu. So schiras is a full mechira. We're not talking about a compromise thing. We're not talking about the maskir retains ownership. It's a full mechira. So the Rambam is a clear contradiction. The Ravid in Hilchos Schiras Vav Hey disagrees with the Rambam about that case, and he thinks the chatzar fully belongs to the socher. So, and the Rambam is particularly surprising because the Rambam, the Gemara only uses this line about, you know, mechira lezman katzuv. The Gemara only uses that line in the context of ona, and the Rambam takes it and expands it, and actually doesn't quote from the Gemara really. So the Mishnah of Melech in Hilchos Chiras Vav Hey quotes the Beis Yosef and actually raises this exact question. I mean, how come the, you know, Amatai Pasech when Yishnei Asifim, you know, how's the Rambam going back and forth here in terms of what type of ownership the Socher has? So there's also a few other examples. The Rambam Hilchos Mechira Yud Gimel Yud Zayin says, Shaschiras mechira mechira bas yomehi. So Rambam there also has mechira bas yomehi. But in the other context, in Shabbos Chaf Gimel and Trumos Tezayin, so in Shabbos Chaf Gimel, he says you can't rent an animal to a non-Jew. Why? Because it's going to do malacha on Shabbos. Ah, but if Shiras is a full mechira, then it's not your animal anymore. It's not your animal. So who cares if he's going to work it on Shabbos? Right? Clearly, the maskir still retains some level of balas over it. And the Rambam Hilchos Truma, Ted Zion, says that a Kohen renting an animal from Yisrael, right, can't feed it Truma. Why? Because in Kinyan Kaspo, meaning the maskir still has some rights over it. So what exactly is the Rambam Shita here? So the Rambam, basically what the Rav Ronsai tried to argue is that the Rambam was trying to say that the Rambam has a very complex view of socher maskir, right? The Rambam is saying that it's a mechira, but at the same time, the Rambam is saying that the maskir retains rights. And I think the best way to articulate this is the Rimil O'Neil. So, does anyone remember the Rimil O'Neil? Maybe Josh Appel, perhaps.
Yeah, so the Rimil O'Neil is talking about one of the Gemaras, I think Baba Kama or Baba Metzia.
Yeah, Baba Kama.
Baba
Metzia, yeah, I think it's Baba Metzia.
And it's talking about what are the responsibilities of the Socher and the Maskir. So some of the responsibilities of the Maskir are Maisa Uman, but the Mezuzah is on the Socher.
Yeah.
So he tries to figure out what's the difference. And he gives the yesod that when it comes to like long-term responsibilities, something like a maisa uman, which are like on the house itself and the long standing of the house, so that's on the masir, as opposed to something short like the suk, like the mezuzah, which is about who's living here currently, that's going to be muta on the socher.
Exactly. Right. So you know the Gemara and Bava and Bava Matia presents that there's two different types of responsibilities, and maisa uman, the masir is responsible for. And so instead of just saying, you know, saying it's about umdinas there, the Rimil O'Neil says that it's because there's two, well, he doesn't say it this, exactly this way, but basically he thinks that there's two different types of ownership. And there's the ownership of a long-term ownership, as opposed to the responsibilities, the type of ownership of a person who's just currently living there. And so when you say, is it, oh, is the masker the owner, is the sokhar the owner? The answer is, it's both. It's just two different types of ownership of the item. We wanted to say that maybe for the Rambam, it's the same idea, that for the Rambam, it's kind of both. Right? It's not that one's the owner, but for a short time, or that the other guy is not the owner at all. It's because, no, there's just two different types of ownership. And each of these different laws appeals to those two different types. Okay, and that's going to be a very important point. This idea of the Rimi Lunil is very important. And I think this is the best example of something that's going to translate into our discussion of how this sugya reflects upon Bedikas Chametz. And just one more comment is that, I mean, there's all these conflicting gemaras. The Rambam kind of just writes them out of, you know, style. He just puts them in without being bothered by it. He doesn't sweat it. But it's because he just thinks there's two different types of ownership here. Okay, that was section number two. Now we get into the third section, which is that about Bedikas Chametz. And please, if anyone has any questions, please feel free to jump in, as always. So the Gemara presents this obligation of Bedika. And we're going to get into Rashi Shita next. But for now, let's actually do something about the Rashash. So the Rashash says, he talks about explaining this Gemara. What's the question? What's going on? Well, why would you think either side? So the Rashash here in Pesachim Dalet and Aleph says the following. Kevin da Bedika in ela midirabanan. Right, since Bedika here is only midirabanan, as Rashi is going to say, my time of Taknua. What was the purpose of Bedika? Right? Maybe he didn't do it correctly. He didn't have it fully. His heart wasn't fully into it, and therefore it's on the maskir. Right? It's very technical, right? Maybe because he didn't have full bits of a lathe. Or is it mitaima dimu yavo la'achlo? Right? As Baal Tosfos say, right? And therefore ala socher levdo shachamin tishar etzlo. And therefore, be the responsibility of the socher to do the bedika, because the chametz remains by the socher. So here, the Rashash says that this sugya, which is a very sort of technical, practical way, is just relating to these different models of the purpose of the purpose of bedikas chametz that we mentioned earlier. Right? This is a relationship to our earlier sugya, and this is what it reflects about about bedikas chametz. Because of this concern about Bayer Bali Matze, or because of this concern of Chashash Achila, and that's how the Gemara is divided up. Okay, very practical, technical explanation. That's the first source I wanted to mention in this context. Second source, though, is of course Rashi. So Rashi says, you know what, let me get my Gemara here for a moment. All my, I was hoping to come in today, and then I got a little worried about the storm, so I don't have my all my sfarim here, unfortunately. But Rashi says, Dalet here, Rashi keeps bringing up the notion of a certain word over and over again. And the Rashi basically keeps saying that, in terms of the Chamira Didei, says, Hachamit Shebe Bayis Shalo, right? Bayis. Next, what does he say? Bir Shusei Kai. Rashi again invokes the concept of bias. Later, the Rashi talks about lasos lo mezuza. I'm a midi de mitzvah aleha ramya. Right, the person who it falls upon. Rosenzweig interpreted that as having to do with who the chovas a bias. It's about the bias. Midi de mitzvah ramya aleha. And also, Rashi is the one who holds that this is bedikas chametz midirabanan, and that's how he skirts around the bitul issue here. So what do we say about, what do we want to say about Rashi here? So the thing that mostly reflects, most obviously, is that Rashi has a certain view. It's not about maybe just the owner of the chametz or bedika is about the purpose of getting rid of, the chashash achila. For Rashi, bedika's chametz is about who's responsible. It's a chovas habayis. That, and we've mentioned, we've shown him in the past, we've talked about, Biyarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. And there's this notion of ridding your house of chametz. It's a chovas habayis. But then this brought, this presented us with a very challenging question. Because who really owns it here? The whole, what would you say? Off, you know, a priori, what would you say? So you would say the socher, right? That's what Rosenzweig said. Now, if that's the case, right, then what rights does the maskir have to this property right now, the bias now? And so therefore, shouldn't it, of course, fall upon the socher to do it and not the maskir? So the so here is where this connects back to our previous section. Because if Rosenzweig presented suggested that a certain source can help us answer this, and that source is the Rimi L'O'Neill. Again, right? Who owns the bias? It's sort of, it's both, right? You could say that who's the owner of the bias? Well, in one sense, in the long term, you know, a responsibility is ownership. Then it's the maskir. But in the short term, the owner of the bias is the socher. And therefore, the Gemara has this debate. Ah, now it's his bias there. It's his bias. You know, it's both. Right? And that's how Rashi can kind of work with both of these models. Okay, and that's what the Gemara is really debating. Now, the third source I want to mention in this context is, let's say it's Min HaTorah. Right? So the Marshal has this fascinating reading where he says that it's explicit. He says explicitly that if it was Min HaTorah, the Masker would be Chayav in Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, because it's his, he'd be Chayav because it's his bias. Explicitly, Masker, very clear. That's the Marshal. Now, the question that Rosenzweig raised is that, isn't it really the socher's bayit for now? You know, what exactly does it mean that's really his bayit? And then the second question of Rosenzweig raised, and this is really the point, I think the very critical point here, is that why does the bias really matter, right, in this context? Shouldn't it be just chamir didei? Shouldn't that just be the most important factor? Shouldn't chamir didei? He owns the chametz. It's his chametz. Bayar bayi matzeh should be on him. Why start talking about the bias here? What's the Marshal doing bringing this up? So here's where I thought Rosenzweig made a really good and insightful point that connects again to how we view Bedika in previous Sugya, which is again invoking this concept of Rabbi Ishmael. Right? How do we view Bedika's Chametz? Right? How do we view Bayar Bayi Matzeh? It's not the regular dinim of ownership, right? It's not originally in your issues. The Torah has to put it in your issues. It's not about this formal ownership. It's really about the way you relate to the chametz. And if that's the case, it doesn't have to follow the same rules. It doesn't have to be literally yours. If it's in your issues, you need to distance yourself from it. Chametz is detestable. Chametz is the antithesis of Chag HaPesach. And therefore, when it's in your issues, you got to make sure that area is a chametz-free zone. It's not your chamir, it's not your chamira, but that doesn't matter because it's about it being in your ashus and you ridding yourself from that. And it doesn't have to be this way, but in terms of how we can explain the Marshal, here's where we see a really clear connection to how we view a chametz on Pesach, Bayrah, and Bedika. Now, the Rashash, I think, is sort of the foil here. Rashash takes a more classic approach, right? Because he says it's on the maskir. Why? Because it says chametz. Right? And again, we see that Bayar Bayi Matzeh is like, it's a classic ownership of chametz. Now, the Rashash does say that the Iker bias is of the socher, but he says that later on. But at the beginning, he says it's on the maskir because it says chametz. Now, just by way of bringing this in, trying to fit in a few other sources into our discussion, so the Pnei Yoshua actually says the opposite, because he says that the Chiyuv would be on the Soch, because he would have been the one to be over at Bayar Bayi Matzeh. Very interesting. Pnei Yoshua has a lot of really fascinating comments on the Sugya. And the Makor Chaim thinks that Rashi holds that if there was a case of Doraisa, then the Chiyuv Bedika would also be on the Socher. Basically, the Makor Chaim thinks that Rashi means this in general, that like Mesiras Mafteach is enough to make it like a Beso L'Inyan Chametz. And since that's the case, so L'Inyan Chametz, that's the Makor Chaim Shita. So basically, he thinks that the Socher, therefore, is responsible because that's his Beso L'Inyan Chametz. That's an important source to know. We actually won't address that as much later in this year, so it's a good way to fit it in to this topic. Fine. That's the three. That's source number three in the section number three. Source number four, and that is the Shita of Tosfos. So what background, at least according to Rabbeinu Peretz, do we have for this Tosfos? So Rabbeinu Peretz holds, and this is really the background to this Tosfos, is we know that Tosfos says earlier that Bedika, purpose of Bedika, Shema Yavo L'Ochla. And if that's the case, then what's Pshat in this Gemara? Shema Yavo L'Ochla, the Maskir is 100 miles away. He's never coming there. He's not coming back till Tishrei. So he's not going to be Yavo L'Ochla. The only person who's going to be Yavo L'Ochla is the Socher. And if that's the case, then what's the idea of the Gemara? That it would be the responsibility of the Maskir. So the first Tosfos gives like a little bit of a dachuk answer that's really connected to the Bittul, which could be interesting in terms of the relationship between Bittul and Bedika, but Tosfos rejects that. So instead, Tosfos gives another answer. He says that basically that there's this sort of formal requirement that arises on the night of the 14th. So he says, this is the Re in Tosfos Dalet Amud Aleph. So he says, basically what happens is that the Chobas Bedika comes upon the Maskir, because he's the owner until the 14th. So if that hits that point in time, even though it's Hashem Yavo L'Ochla, he now is the one who becomes Mechuyav in it. And that's why the Maskir remains the one obligated to do Bedika Shamit. So this is a bizarre answer. Right, the chiyuv falls upon him. It's all about a chila. So what do you mean this chiyuv is going to fall upon him? Where are you coming up with this stuff from? So Rosai gave two explanations, both of them very interesting. The first one is that sometimes when we have a takana, there's a difference between the tam of a takana and how it manifests. Look in the sugya Maris Ayin. There's some discussion about this, especially right, like a Maris Ayin, so people don't see, but maybe it becomes usher always. No one's going to see, but that's a discussion there. But sometimes you have a difference between the tam of the takana. The tam is shem yavo l'ochla, but now it becomes a formalized mitzvah of yudalid. And once it becomes a formalized mitzvah of yudalid, then it doesn't matter, nishtahin, nishtaher, that really was all about shem yavo l'ochla. Now the takana becomes manifest this way. Chal yudalid.
It's like lighting Hanukkah candles inside.
Ah.
Shelo b'shas takana.
I'm not familiar with the sugya, but... No, it's okay. Beautiful share last night. But here it's formalized mitzvah yudalid, and that's why how it becomes materialized is different than the tam of it. The second idea of Rosenzweig gave, which I don't think he believed was really a pshat Tosfos, but he thought that maybe if you said that the Iker Zman Bedika is the beginning of Yom Yudalid, and then the rest of the day is simply Tashlumim. So even though he gets it on the middle of Yudalid, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the Socher gets it then. Why? Because the Chiyav can't transfer, because that's just Tashlumim. You only came at the time of Tashlumim. You didn't come at the time of the Chiyav. And therefore, therefore you missed your chance, and that's why it's on the Chiyav is on the Maskir. So it's not really, I don't really think he thought this necessarily Pshat and Tosfos, but it's just a really good idea nonetheless. Fine, so we presented four sources in this context. We presented the Rashash, we presented Rashi, we presented what happens if it would be Midor Raisa, and then we presented Tosfos. Okay, good. So now we get into impacted issues. And here, these just kind of flow pretty easily from the Sugyo. So one question which Tosfos raises, and is raised by other Rishonim as well, is why does the Gemara say Yudalid? Why not on Yudgimel? Right? Like what's the difference? Between your gimel and your dalet, if it's talking about ownership. So this is one issue that we kind of need to understand. It's a question. The answers are not necessarily most fascinating, but this is definitely impacted the way you look at it, Rashi versus Tosfos, right? So for Rashi, it's because they're not balim legai. Yeah, for Tosfos, I'd say at least, that's when the Chiyav kicks in, Yudalid. That's when the Chiyav Bedika kicks in. That's why Dafka has to be Yudalid, right? What would we say for Rashi? Anybody thought, Ellie, what would you say about Ellie Goldberg? Anybody thought, what would we say for Rashi here? So, yeah, RSR, yeah. Yeah, Ali, what do you think?
You're saying if Rashi's focused on the bias specifically, like why would we say it has to be in the 14th?
Yeah.
I guess you could say something about like the halosi adala, like we were talking about before, that there's, that with regards to your key of chametz, like your ownership of the house is going to be more, it's going to be more relevant on the 14th because the 14th is like more of a halos with regards to b'tikas chametz.
Yeah. So maybe something like that, right? Like when you become the balim, right? Like that's, yeah. There's like a special halos of the 14th, and that like that's why the balos of the house comes into effect there. But yeah, this is just the point I want to raise is just this is an issue that both Rashi and Tosos need to respond to. Okay. Then the yeah. So and that's sort of like an agav way of answering the question of the Gemara. Then second thing that we raised in Shir was the issue of the parallel to mezuzah. All right, so what's going on with the mezuzah here? So for Tosos, it's what is it? It's that there's a chova, right? There's a chova on one person. Oh, by the way, Tosos of being a parrot earlier just is a little more explicit about some of these things, that there's a chiyuv independently and the chiyuv transfers. And the question is whether the chiyuv would transfer to the socher maski, right? There's a formalized chiyuv that rises. Tosos of being a parrot earlier by Tosos. Sorry, I forgot to mention that there. So Tosfos, so Rashi and Tosfos here have different ways of looking at this. Right? For Tosfos, the question is of mezuzah, which is you have a chova that's on one person, right? He's the owner. And then the question is whether or not that could transfer to another individual, right? Whether the chova transfers to the new socher. At each chai, does that chova transfer? For Rashi, it's all about the Baal HaBayis. Right? This is a chova HaBayis. As Chovas HaBayis, same way as the Bdikas Chametz is, so then do we say, who is the Baal HaBayis there? Do we say it's the Socher or the Maskir? And this would be instructive to us. That's Midi Mitzvah Aleh Rami. That's what Rome's trying to say, that we have, you know, this would be a nafkamina between his two Shito, or whether it's about, there's a fee of transfer, or it's the way Mezuzah helps us, is it's trying to help us figure out who is the real Baal HaBayis here. The third thing that I wanted to mention was the comparison to Mafkin Nifkad. So the Rashash has this idea that you can't say that Maskir Socher is an exact parallel to the case of Mafkin Nifkad, which I think is brought up in the Rush, if I remember correctly. He says you can't really compare it to that case, even though in seemingly, you know, we should, there's machlokas there, whether or not it's on the mafkid, the nifkad, the go'onim say one way, the rush has another way. So he says maybe this debate depends on there. But he says no, because here socher only has rishus, right? Whereas there, the nifkad has achrayas on the chametz. Totally different case. But maybe we could say that it doesn't matter so much. We don't really care about the achrayas, right? This would be the response in terms of how we look at B'dikas Chametz, right? Maybe we could say it doesn't matter. Because B'dikas Chametz is not about necessarily achrayos. Forget that. What is it about? It's about making your rishus a chametz-free zone. It's showing your disinterest, showing your distaste for chametz. And if that's the case, you don't care about achrayos or whatever per se. It's the same concept, perhaps, in both cases. Do we say, since it's in your rishus, you have to be the one to make it a chametz-free zone? That's the third idea. The fourth thing is really about how do we understand the Mesirach Mafteach answer to the Gemara, which we'll get into more later. Right, for Rashi, the Mesirach Mafteach is like the Kinyan Schiros. Fine. And then Tosfos is basically who the Chiyah falls upon. We won't get so into that. But just that's another issue that comes up in terms of these two different approaches. Okay, now we get into Bayera Balimatze. This is the fifth section. Hopefully as clear, please, again, if anyone has any questions. So if the Gemara is talking about Bayera and Balimatze, right, what would I say about who should be the one that's responsible? So if I would say, here's the question that we're going to need to address. This is like the question. which is, what is determinative in the chi of a bayra bali matzah or the iser? Is it about being the having balus or about it being in yerushas? This is really the question that surrounds all of this topic. So here we can sort of say a priori, we kind of have two different approaches. Right? If bali ra and bali matzeh is a siag la achila, right? If that's the case, like who says so? Rabbi Yerucham says that there are the Tashbits. Some people say that in the Das HaTosfos, right? We saw that some people think that bali ra bali matzeh is a siag la achila, right? What would we say? We would say that the chiyuv makes sense to be on the socher. Siag l'achila, he's the one that's going to do the achila because he's there. He's not 100 miles away like the maskir. But if we think bayar bayi matzeh is about not having a certain connection to the chametz, right? You can't have a connection to bayar bayi matzeh. You can't have a connection to the chametz. It's your chametz. So then, of course, it's going to be on the chiyuv as on the maskir. That's a, you know, if you ask me, I woke me up in the middle of the night and said, oh, what's your analysis about this? That's what I would say. But we understand that the question is actually much more complicated because of one very big factor, right? Is because we have Rabbi Ishmael, which I mentioned at the outset of this year. Rabbi Ishmael throws a wrench into this, right? Because it's not naturally in the rishos of a person. So maybe the rules of rishos and ownership are different here, right? And maybe we don't care about, you know, you're the owner per se. So maybe it's in your possession. And so this is the problem that we have here, which is, you know, how exactly would it fall out? You know, is the rishos more important here? Is being the formal owner more important? And it doesn't necessarily work out just in these nice, neat models, these nice, neat models that we had suggested originally. Noah, please.
Aram, so if we assumed, like you explained it in the first option earlier, that when the Torah throws chametz back into your rishos, it's just like any other ownership. So then would the rest of what you're going to say and like the rest of the complications that come civilly by chametz not apply? In other words, are we going according to the second understanding that when it throws it back into your shirts, it like mumbles up the sense of ownership or reshut or?
Yeah, and exactly. My point here is that once we have the second option of how to approach Rabbi Ishmael, then it causes problems because then it doesn't fit into the standard models. Yeah, if it was the first model of Rabbi Ishmael, then I agree with you. I don't think it would cause so many problems.
Meaning just the fact that the second option exists, even if we don't go by that option in all cases.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to pin down exactly. You know these models. Right. Ownership is really about ownership. It's just yeah. Exactly. Okay. So here, Okay. So I think at this point. And here really the Gemara maybe is just testing which of these two candidates is more likely to be liable for bayar bayi matzeh. Maybe that's the Gemara here I was talking about. Okay, like who's going to be more liable, the socher or the maskir? Now this discussion of bayar bayi matzeh is really outside of our Gemara to some extent. Some of it is connected to, but you know, a lot of it's talking about like the maskir socher midoraisa. If we're talking about Rashi, that's not the case, obviously. So you have to understand that this isn't necessarily like taloi on the diunim in our specific Gemara. But in this context, I just wanted to raise, I think, a very important Gemara, which Rashi draws from. Well, Rashi comments there, and Rabbeinu David and the Maram Chalava both draw from. Anyone know which Gemara I'm referring to in terms of trying to figure out whether Bayirai Matzeh is more about Rishos or Baalos? Which Gemara in Pesachim? Maybe Eli Hyman, if I may ask.
The Gemara in Vav Amud Aleph?
Yeah, exactly, right. So the Gemara in Vav Amud Aleph says, so the reason why we looked into the Gemara in Vav Amud Aleph is that it really highlights the role of Rishus by Bali Ra and Bali Matzeh. All right, so the Gemara there says, by a case of a non-Jew, if you yichei lo bias for his chametz, even though there's no, so Rashi says, even though there's no achrayas in that case, right? Since you have it in your ashus, nonetheless, right? You might be chayav. there's no upfront. I just told them to put it there, right? It's not a, I have no responsibility for it. I told them to put it there. It's just a marishas. It's not mine. It's just a marishas. The havmi in the Gemara there is that you'd be chayav. What does that tell us? So for Rashi, it tells us a lot, because for Rashi, we see that rishus plays a critical role in Bayarai Bali Matze. Very, very critical role. And so Gemara concludes that this isn't the case, but the idea still very much can remain. That's Rashi Shita. Now Tosfos, in contrast, holds that there is Achrayas here, and so that totally changed. It's not as shocking then. If there's Achrayas, then okay, there's Achrayas there, so maybe, you know, you would be Chayav. But for Rashi, who is just about being in your Rishus, wow, that's telling us a lot. The other point I think we made in the Gemara here is that the conclusion of the Gemara, which uses Lo Yimatze, the Gemara's conclusion uses Lo Yimatze. It's different here. You're not chayav. Or I de afkir achmana balashon lo yimatze bisha matzah biyadcha yatsa zesh ina matzah biyadcha. So the Gemara uses liman of lo yimatze for the sake of a kula here to teach you that you're not chayav. But what more importantly, right? We see that rishus and schiras, like our definitions of that, nechametz may be different than other areas of halacha. Right, the fact that there's lo yimatze, okay, maybe in other contexts it would be different, but here the Gemara says lo yimatze is a kula, right? And therefore the maskir, or the guy who directs him, right, it's in his rishos, he is not a chayav. But it could be that in the case of Yisrael, you know, maybe it'd be different. Maybe your maskir is a sefer Yisrael. It could be a different case. The Pnei Yoshua and the Makor Chayim talk about Rashi, you know, how Lo Yimatze and would reestablish and redefine certain things. Rashi and Daftar is very focused on the bias and the Rishos. So I won't get so into that, but we just, in the context of that Gemara, we raised this very important Havamina and have the conclusion invokes a different Pasuk that may teach us that Chametz is different than these other contexts, right? The importance of Rishos, etc. So the Rabbeinu David and Maram Chalava both bring a raya from Vav and Aleph, though. And they do it for basically the exact opposite perspective, right? They're trying to say that if someone else has Rishus, then you're going to be Pater. So basically, if it's a Nachri, if it's Chamech Shal Yisrael, Rishus Nachri, who identifies Chamech Shal Yisrael versus a different Yisrael? Right? Everyone is Pater. Right? You both need Rishus and Balus to be Chayev, according to the Yishito. Rabbeinu David, Maram Chalava. So we pointed out that Rabbeinu David, even within this, saying that the Socher and Maskir both going to be Chayav, Rabbeinu David does say that the bias is primary, and Maram Chalava was saying that Rishus is primary. But they both do hold that neither the Maskir or Socher is responsible, and they derive it from this very Gemara on Vav Amud Aleph. Okay? So that's why the Vav Amud Aleph Gemara is really important in terms of this whole Bayarai Bali Matzei discussion. That we were investigating. So here, though, I wanted to point to, I think, the most critical element of this Bali Matzei discussion, which is that in the case of Socher Maskir, who's Chayav in Bali Matzei, if anyone? And this is, I think, maybe the best way to test what the Bali Matzei dynamic is, right? Because is it about the Baalus? Is it about Rishus? Is it about both? Right. How do you determine this? So here we can point to four different shito, the full range of options. One approach is that it's the maskir. Right? We mentioned this earlier. We mentioned that the Rashash and the Maharshal both say that the maskir would be the one to be chayav. Right? Rashash says it's because chamira didei, right? And therefore you need balus to violate Bayarai Bali Matzei. The Maharshal says it a little bit differently, right? Because the Maharshal says that because the chametz is birshuso. So it could be that, why is birshuso so important? Meaning it's the maskir, even though, ironically, the maskir is the one we're talking about birshuso, even though the maskir is not, you know, one currently there. So it could be that, you know, why is that so important? So it could be because of the lo yimatze issue, or because of the Rabbi Shmuel idea that it's all about Rishus, right? It's not about, you know, necessarily the titular ownership, but it's about about Rishus. And if that's because it's about your relationship to the Chametz, et cetera. And if that's the case, then really the focus on Rishus. So here again, we're seeing how they're navigating this Baalus Rishus dynamic in terms of figuring out who's actually Chayav. The socher, okay, so then the next day is that the socher would violate Bali Roy. And here this could be for a variety of reasons. So it could be because the psukim emphasize Rishos and Gvul Chem, and that might mean that the Ikra Chiyav is about Chamis and Yerushos. Or the Pasuk of Bali Roy, of Bali Matzeh, that you have to make sure the Chamis is not found in Yerushos. And then the third factor is, again, this idea of Rabbi Yishmael, right? Because it's made, the Torah put, it's not about classic ownership, it's about being put into your Rishos, right? And therefore, it's, you know, you would violate it if it's your Rishos. So, I mean, the Maharshal is saying it's not, it's in the Rishos of the Mosque, that's why he's violating it. Here we have the parallel opposite, where it's in the, they say it's the Rishos of the Socher, right? But it's for the same idea, it's Rabbi Yishmael, and that's how you would violate it. So this idea is related, is alluded to by the, or discussed by the Pnei Yoshua and the Makor Chaim. So first we had the Marshal and the Rashash who say Socher, sorry, the Maskir. And here we have the Socher, which is brought up by the Makor Chaim, the Pnei Yoshua. Further in this second idea that the Socher violate Bali Raya, so the Rabbeinu Manoach in Bet Yud Chet, Nechos Chameitz, mentions, here I have it. So Rabbeinu Manoach here, here we go. So he says this very important idea. He says, "Tusha kol maskir bias b'stama makne kol achamei tenimsha sham l'socher." Tenimsha sham l'socher. So he says that why is he chayav? Why is a socher chayav? Presumably because it's no longer the chameitz of the maskir. Right, it's maybe if it was a chametz of him, it'd be different. But here he's not the owner anymore. He was maknet to the socher. So again, you're playing with these different issues, right? Who's the owner? Who is it? Rishus or ownership? But here it's not. You would think it's the ownership is of the maskir. No. The ownership is of the socher. Okay, again, we're playing around with this baalos rishus, and they kind of come up in opposite ways sometimes. Then further within this camp. The Ravid has this fascinating idea that he really says it's like Mesiras Mafteach, but it's about being like Mafkir. But Mesiras Mafteach is like it's being Mafkir the Chametz. I think he says like something like that. Not like I don't think he says like literally it's Mafkir the Chametz, but it's you know that type of idea. So here again, right, it's because of lack of ownership, which is why the Socher is Chayav, right? It's that's why the Mafkir is Pater here. But again, it's about ownership still. It's not about Rishus. The Makor Chaim, yeah, okay, there's a Magen Avraham also Makor Chaim, but we won't get into that just for the sake of time here. Okay, third model here is that both the Secher and Maskir would violate it. So this idea, Ron Swag mentioned, is brought up in the Torah's Chaim. And here I think this is very rich because it's both, right? Balus or Rishus makes you Chayav. And so therefore the Maskir and Socher can both be Chayav. Right? They have these different roles, right? Rishos, Baalos, but it doesn't matter because both of those make you responsible for Bali Raya, Bali Matzeh. Okay? Now what's the fourth approach? So we mentioned it earlier. So the fourth approach is that of the Maram Chalava and Rabbeinu David. And here they say that neither the Socher nor the Maskir would violate it. And this is Rabbeinu David, the Maram Chalava, they quote the Mechilta, and that's how they arrive at their position. So again, here we see something fascinating, right? You need both. You need Baalos and you need Rishos. You can't just have one. Being violated by Rabbi Masi means to be the full owner and to be in your possession. And I guess that maybe is about the tier of Tio. Okay, so here we presented four different models. You have the full range of Shito here. I remember Rabbi Sabolovsky, by a Zoreya on Shabbos, there's like five Shito, whether or not, how many Av Malachot there are there, right? Or how many, yeah, like, is Notea, there's five different things. The question is, how many Av Malachot there? So I remember him saying, when you have a two-way debate Rishonim, it's great. A three-way debate Rishonim, four-way, there's five-way debate Rishonim, is a super two for Machlokas. So here we have a four-way Machlokas in our great sages. It's pretty exciting. Okay, that's section number five. Now we move on to an amazing section, which is the Mesiras Mafteach. Now here's a, I'm excited for this topic here. I thought you could see of Rosenzweig's you know, imagine really in Bava Basra we had even more information about this, but here you got to see it's a great mahal from a Rosenzweig. So the Gemara here at the end of as we discussed in this third stage of the Gemara, right, it talks about the how do we ultimately conclude? It depends on when the Socher got the Mafteach. Right, so if the Socher got the Mafteach before Yedalid, then the Socher is Chayev. If he got it after Yedalid, then the Masker is Chayev. Now, what is this Mesiris Mafteach? Meaning, what exactly is this concept of Mesiris Mafteach in Halacha? Is it significant? What role does it play? Is it a Kenyan? What's going on here? I think Mark concludes based on Mesiris Mafteach. We have no idea what the significance of that is. So, it's not just, you know, my question. You know, this is a debate or a real problem in the Gemaras. It's a very big problem in the Gemaras. What exactly the role of Mesiris Mafteach? So from the Gemara Pesachim, simple reading, Pashut reading, is that Mesiris Mafteach is Kona. It's a Kenyan, right? Kenyan here works as a Kenyan, and that's why he acquires the house through Mesiris Mafteach, and now it's his responsibility. That is, say, Pashtus of this Gemara. But then we have two other Gemaras which make it more complicated. And each of these are raised by Tosfos. But we're going to get into the specific Shitot after we build up the issue and build up the conceptual models. So the Gemara Bava Kama, Ayin Ted Amud Aleph, says the following. It says, V'kishem shar karka nikne b'kesef shtar u'b'chazaka, kach schiros nikne b'kesef shtar u'chazaka. Meaning the same standards, the same ideas that, models that apply for acquisitions in the world of karka also apply to the world of schiras. And if kesef, shtar, and chazaka are the only ways by the world of karka, then kesef, shtar, and chazaka should be the only ways by schiras as well. Right? Presumably that's what the Gemara means. Simple pshat, simple reading, okay? So we have this Pesachim on the one hand, Mesiris Mafteach is golden, is a Kenyan, and here Mesiris Mafteach seems like a different model. Yeah. Okay. Then later, the Gemara elsewhere says to build this up. So the Gemara says, what exactly does? Where is Gemara is exactly? Maybe it's a Nun Beis, is that possible? Gemara Nun Beis, I think says this. I think Tosos quotes that Gemara. Yeah, Bava Kama Nun Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara Bava Kama Nun Beis Amud Aleph has the following line, a very important line. So it says, what exactly is the purpose of Mesiris Mafteach? What does that help you? So he says that, if Mesiris Mafteach is b'kaspi, listen to b'kaspa. If Mesiris Mafteach is kesef, just give kesef. If Mesiris Mafteach is Chazaka, just go acquire in Chazaka. What are you doing? What's Mesiris Mafteach? And he says, what does it mean? What does it mean? Li'olam b'chazaka. Really, Mesiris Mafteach is a form of Chazaka. But what is Mesiris Mafteach? It's basically, le'chazik b'kani. It's saying to him, go le'chazik b'kani. It's not literally Chazaka. It's not kinyan Chazaka, but it's saying, go and do kinyan Chazaka. And he says that once I give him the mafteach, right, it is the equivalent of saying lechazek v'kani dami. Okay, what's the idea here in this Gemara? Mesiris mafteach is a nisht. It's nothing. And Mesiris mafteach is only lechazek v'kani. It's not a kinyan chazaka. So in our Gemara, where we're talking about Mesiris mafteach and psachim, how could it be a valid kinyan there? And elsewhere, it sounds like it's not on the list of kinyanim. It's only lechazek v'kani. What do we do with this challenging set of evidence?
Remy, yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Please.
You reading the Gemara as saying the Olam b'chazaka is referring to Mesiris Mafteach working in Chazaka?
No, I think it's Mesiris Mafteach is like it's in the world of Chazaka then.
The way that I read the Gemara was that I thought it was that how did he acquire the house? Was it Kesef Shara Chazaka? His only options are Kesef Shara Chazaka. I'm going to say the Olam, he really used a normal Kenyan Chazaka. And we're talking about Mesiris Mafteach, that's just functioning as Lechazek Kni.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not.
But not like Lechazek, not that Mesiris Mafteach is Lechazek Kni, which is in the realm of Kenyan Chazaka. I thought we were just saying Kini Chazaka is, you know, like Nagar of Parats.
Yeah, but see, he's saying that it says if when you say when you do Chazak, you say Barlamim or Le Chazak Bakani, right? And then he says once he gives him the Mateach, what function does the Mesiris Mateach serve? It's as if you said to him Le Chazak Bakani.
I'm just focusing on the words Le'olam Bechazaka. I didn't think that was referring to. I thought it was just saying it. No, he did not go to Parats. That's how we acquired it in the case of the Gemara. And when we said here that we're using Mesiris Mateach, that just functions as a replacement for Le Chazak Bakani. But I thought that you read reading it as Le'olam Bechazaka, that no, Le Chazak Bakani is a form of Chazaka, but it's limited because it's only
Le Chazak Bakani. We're on the same page. We're on the same page. We're on the same page.
Okay.
Okay. So here we want to ask, right, how do the Mepharshim take this? Right? You have this complicated set of evidence. How do the Mepharshim take these three different Gemaras? What do they do with them? Okay? That's our kasha. So here we can present three approaches. The first approach, broadly speaking, is to disregard the Bava Kama Gemaras, right, and just focus on Gemara Pesachim, right? Sechiras is Kona. Sorry, Mesiras Mafteach by Sechiras is Kona. Great. Mesiras Mafteach not only by Sechiras is Kona, maybe Mesiras Mafteach in general is Kona by Mechira as well. That's one approach we can take. Ignore those. Mesiras Mafteach is a Gevaldika Kinyan, and both in the worlds of Mechira and Sechiras. Great. That's one Mahalach. Well, forget about the Bava Kama Gemaras. The other approach is that to play down the Gemara in Pesachim. Right? Say the Gemara in Pesachim is something else is going on here. It's not really saying that Mesiras Mafteach is a Kenyan. It's just saying that Mesiras Mafteach plays some other role. But really the Gemaras that are more central are the Gemaras in Bava Kama. The final way is to say that it's specifically by Schiros it's Kone, not by Mechira. Okay? That's the third possible approach. Now, who says what? So the first approach is that of the Rashbam. The Rashbam, and also this is echoed in the Yerushalmi as well, which seems to have a dispute with the Bavli, some of the Bava Kama stuff. So the Rashbam basically just says that basically the Rashbam just plays down the other Gemara. It says the Pesachim thing is Iker. Sefer Tanach works both in Sefer and Mechira. And forget about those Bava Kama Gemaras, basically. That's the Rashbam's approach. And the Ritva quotes the Yerushalmi as well, that seems to hold this idea too. The second approach about just disregarding the Gemara and Pesachim is the Taisvis, the Ravid, and the Ran. So, and they do it differently. Tosfos basically says that you need Mesiras Mafteach, basically, but it's independent of Kinyan. You need someone to have, you need the ability to go check the house to do the Bedika. He needs to be dafksha rotza lahasik bebayis uknoso. So someone who has the desire to hasik bebayis uknoso, therefore he needs to have the mafteach in order to be able to go perform this action. But it's not, you don't need a kinyan. It's not a kinyan at all. That's what Tosfos says. There's a discussion, we won't get into it. What exactly is the purpose of Mesiras Mafteach? Sefer HaMichtam has an interesting idea. There's more to say about it, but we'll hold off for now. But Sefer HaMichtam basically says that it's a Mesiras Mafteach, sort of his chayvos, it's a gilei das, that's nichle for the socher. That's Tosfos. The Ran, who's also saying kind of play down Pesachim, he says you need a kinyan on your gimel, and then you need a Mesiras Mafteach on your dalet. You need both. But again, it's playing down the role of Mesiras Mafteach as a form of kinyan. The final approach is the Schiros is Kona, it's not Kona in the context of Mechira. So here we can present two different opinions that we would say hold this way. First is the opinion of Rashi. So Rashi says, Mesiras Mafteach, hu kinyan schiros. Rashi is no less than a kinyan schiros. And that's the function here, simple pshat of the Gemara. But Rashi goes on. But that's Rashi's shita. Now, the Rambam says that so that's Rashi. Now the question is, does this the issue is how does the and then we basically have the Rambam, right? So the Rambam has this idea that I'll put it this way. So the question is whether or not if you hold Mesiras Mafteach as a kinyan, right, what do you hold about that? Is it a function of another kinyan, or is it a separate kinyan? So the Korban Asanel says it's really the list in the Gemara that says Kesef Shtar Chazaka. That's not exclusive, right? It's like the Gemara's Megillah, Ein Bein Zeh L'Zeh, but really there is more Bein Zeh L'Zeh. It's not an exhaustive list. So you can have, oh, Kesef Shtar Chazaka by, in these two contexts, but it's not an exhaustive list, and that's how you could say Mesiras Mafteach. That's how you get around those Gemaras and Bava Kamma. Okay, but the Rambam presents a different view. That's one approach. Okay, that's one way we can deal with Rashi. But the Rambam has a different idea. Where the Rambam basically talks about if you spread out the Rambam basically has the idea that if you like spread out your let's put it this way. The Rambam has the idea that in one context, right, if you shtichas piros, right, you spread your piros, then you could do a chazaka in a certain context. The Rambam challenges this. He says, what kind of chazaka is this? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't work in Nagadar parats. That's the Rambam. And this is Mechilas Mechira Parag Alef Halacha Tedvav. So, Achilles Peros works to be Kone a Karka from Mechira, right? That's Hilchos Mechira, Aleph Tet Vav. But then, in another context, the Rambam says that Achilles Peros doesn't work for Chazaka of Stei Hefker. We have a problem. I mean, why is it working in one context, right? Why is it not working in the context of Stei Hefker? So Rav Rosenzweig suggested that there can be two different types of chazakas. A chazaka by mechira, which is, here's the key word, horaz balus, right? And the chazaka by stei hefker, which is maisa chazaka b'guf adamar. Meaning sometimes in halacha, right, by a chazaka, it has to really fit the context. Right? By mechira, right, the kone basically needs to change the balus, right, from one person to another. And that's what he's doing. And therefore, you need an act that indicates balus, right? So how do you do that? You have achilas peros, right? Because that's showing haraz balus. That works for chazaka by mechiras karka, according to the Rambam, right? Unlike the Ravid. But what about the stei hefker? What do we say about stei hefker? So we suggested that the stei hefker doesn't need an indication of balus, right? Because it's not trying to show that you transferred from one person to another. It's a stei hefker. I don't need to show that it's a transfer from one person to myself. What do I need? I need to show an action of chazaka, right? And therefore, the application of chazaka in two different contexts can be distinct. Now, we wanted to say that this idea for the Rambam, this is, by the way, an amazing idea about chazaka, but we wanted to say for what we said for the Rambam here about how chazaka can change forms based off of the appropriate context. It's a unique type of kinyan. So we wanted to say maybe it's the same for Rashi, right? And that we wanted to say that a socher needs horaz balos, right? That's like what he needs in this socher taking it from a maskil. There is another person there. And Mesiras Mafteach in this context, right, is considered an act that indicates balos. And the Ritva actually quotes a Yerushalmi who connects Mesiras Mafteach to Achilas Peros. You see, it's this idea that there's a certain context where you need to demonstrate ownership, Horaz Balos. That's why here Mesiras Mafteach would work in terms of showing this transition of ownership. Rashi himself, though, it only sounds like by Schiras. Rashi is only by Schiras. Okay, there's more to say about this, but that's basically the idea that we're trying to get across, right? That it can show up in different contexts, right? And chazaka can apply in different contexts. Chazaka, maybe in mechira, wouldn't work, but for whatever reason, really in Mesiras Mafteach, in the context of schiras, it could work. And Rav Rosenzweig said that by the Rambam here, Mesiras Mafteach, really the Rambam is very vague, so it could be, the Rambam thinks that it's a type of chazaka, schiras, but it's very vague, it's unclear. Okay. So this was, there's other important shito in this section, but I just wanted to raise that really there's kind of three different ways to approach it. One way to approach it is to discount Bava Kamma Gemaras and say that really Schiras is Kona, sorry, Schiras is Kona and Schiras and by Mechira, another way to say it, it's not koneh by schiros. It's not koneh by schiros and not koneh by mechira either. There's some other alternative purpose for mechiras mafteach. And the third way to approach it is what we said in Rashi, that it does work in schiros and not, it may be in mechira. Why? Because chazakah transfers in context. Right? So here it's about chazakah because there are times where chazakah is about horaz balos, and here it is an effective form or medium of horaz balos when you do mesiras mafteach. Yeah, Noah.
Why did we suggest a reason that it wouldn't work for Rambam? Because Rambam himself doesn't say that.
So it could be. I mean, quite simply, I mean the pashtus of those gemaras above Kama, the Rambam may just read those pashtus potentially. That's a Baabatcha answer. But yeah, Stephen, what are you going to say?
I feel like the Maisa Begufa Karka is something that sounds very invasive to me. So I feel like intuitively I would say that if there's another owner there, I need to do something invasive to show that to get him out. But if there's no owner existing, then I just need to show people that I'm the owner and then I'm good.
Right. I guess it's a more, he's saying it's like a stronger form in some sense. Yeah, I hear that. It's a good question, right? You have to try to work out the Rambam. I don't think everyone's I was convinced that the Rambam didn't say that, but
I'm not even talking within the Rambam per se. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, guys. Shkoyach. If anyone has any follow-ups, please feel free to reach out. Good luck with Chazara. And keep in touch. I'll try to send out a Shitot sheet at some point on the Sugya, because I know there were a lot of different Shitot that came up here. Shkoyach.
Avram, can I ask a question?
Sure.